I began a few weeks ago a series on 1 Peter. We're just going to preach our way through this book. It's a wonderful book, absolutely wonderful letter that God has given us to pay attention to. We're going to start today, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Now, verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 7, all contain the basic theme. So I'm only going to read the first few verses. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Say that last verse with me. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Submission is not a word that is treasured in this society. Have you found that out? We have all seen the bumper sticker, question authority. You ever seen that bumper sticker? I've always wanted to go up to the person that has that bumper sticker on their car and say, do you enforce that teaching on your children? Because you're an authority over your children. Do you enforce that? Or are you only looking at it for your own self so that you do not have to be under anybody's authority? Unfortunately, the societal contempt for the very essence of submission has drastically infiltrated the American church. Yet, the scriptures are timeless, even in this area. Independent attitudes and feminist theology have allowed and is somewhat embraced by the church in order to show the world that the church keeps up with the times, can be molded to fit the age that we live in, and that we do not rattle the cage of being politically incorrect. The world wants the church to be politically correct. Amen? Are we called by God to be politically correct? Or are we called by God to be word correct? Word correct. Now, rather than going through verse by verse in 1 Peter, I want us to just look at the full understanding of what the scripture talks about when it talks about submission. Submission is relevant to relationship. Submission is relative to relationship. If there's no relationship there, then what we have is subjection. An example. Tom Aquarius over here. I'm going to pick on Tom this morning. I'll go ahead. But I'm going to anyways. Mr. McQuarrie is also sometimes Officer McQuarrie. He's a police officer. Now, I'm driving down the road at about 50 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. And all of a sudden, I look in my rearview mirror, and I see these beautiful, beautiful, pretty blue lights. Anybody ever see that before? Oh, I'm not alone. Thank you very much. Now, Officer McQuarrie pulls me over, and he gets out of his cruiser, and he walks up to me and says, good morning, Pastor Matthew. Do you have an idea why I stopped you? Oh, Officer McQuarrie, I haven't got a clue why you would stop me, because I am not under the law. I'm under grace. And Officer McQuarrie may say, the Lord says you are under grace, according to his word. But grace says that you are to be in submission to authority. Amen. And if you're in submission to authority, you won't want to go 50 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Relationship says, I want to be obedient. And seeing as how you failed the grace of God, you will now get a ticket. Because if you did not fail the grace of God, you would have been in submission. And you would have gone 30 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. Now, I know right now my wife is going to remind me of this message when I'm driving down the road. Sometimes when you teach the Word of God, the Word of God will come back and haunt you. True submission is relevant to relationship. Jesus is the one that we are to be first in submission to. Amen? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no question. Anybody who names the name of Jesus, anybody who has received Jesus Christ as Lord, understands that we are to be under submission to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen? Because when you're in submission to the Lord, then you are under His protective covering, and we none of us want to step out from underneath God's protection, do we now? I'm setting you up. We don't. We want to stay under the protective umbrella of Jesus Christ, the one who paid the price for our sins. But if we're going to stay under the protective umbrella of Jesus, we need to look at Jesus' life, and we need to look at the life of those that are contained in the Scriptures that Jesus chose to put in the Scriptures to give us examples. Amen? So today that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at various examples of those in the Scriptures in dealing with the issue of submission. Jesus himself was in submission to his earthly parents. You can read it in Luke chapter 2, verse 49 through 51. It says that they came to Jerusalem, and then when they left, his earthly parents thought that Jesus was a part of the caravan, and they found out that he wasn't part of the caravan. Then they went back because he was lost. So they went back to Jerusalem, and they searched for days to find him. They finally found him. Guess where they found him? They found him in the house of God. And Mary goes up to him and says, Jesus, you shouldn't have done that. And Jesus said, well, why did you think that I'd be doing anything but the Father's will? And then the Bible says that he left with them and submitted to their authority as mother and father. And it says that he grew. From that point on, he grew in power and in stature. Hallelujah. Why? Because he was submitted to his earthly parents. Jesus didn't say, I'm submitted to God. I do not need to submit to you. I'm only under God. You ever hear anybody say that? Well, if you're under God, then you will be under the authority that he has placed in your life. The Bible says so. Jesus, as a boy, was submitted to earthly parents. Jesus was also in submission to God the Father. Look with me in John chapter 4. I want us to look at just a few verses. This is submission 101, this part of the message. But we need to see this because it sets the whole stage and the foundation for this message this morning. In John chapter 4, verse 34. It says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Who is him who sent Jesus? God the Father. Now look at chapter 5, verse 30. In chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus again said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I seek the will of the Father who sent me, my Father. He's talking about relationship here. He understood his relationship with the Father. He's my Heavenly Father, and I'm here to do his will, not my own. Look with me in chapter 6, verse 38. In chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then flip over to chapter 8. Verse 29 of John. Jesus said again, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And what did Jesus just say right here? He said, and he who sent me is with me. Why is the Father with Jesus? He says, the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. Because I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father, I do only that which pleases Him. I know He's with me. I know He's with me. Why? Because I am submitted to Him. So Jesus, as a boy, was submitted to His earthly parents. Jesus was also in submission to God the Father. And we do need to be in submission to Jesus Christ. Directly answerable to the King of Glory. You can look at John chapter 14. Just a couple more pages over. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said these words, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. This is talking about relationship. It's not just being subjected to a law of the land. It's talking about a relationship. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. When He says you don't keep my commandments, you're not showing me you love me. If you're not truly in submission to me, you don't love me. Because I told you, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do we show our love for the Father? Not just in jumping up and down and worship, what we call worship, but as that word was earlier, allowing ourselves to be submitted to the refiner's fire and to keep His commandments. Look over at 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, where John said these very words, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." The commandment is not burdensome when we abide in the love of the Father and love of Jesus and keep His commandments. It's not a burden to keep His commandments when I truly love Him. It may be difficult at times, but it's not a burden. Because in my love for Him, I am submitted to Him. So as Jesus was submitted as an earthly boy to His earthly parents, Jesus also in submission to God the Father, and we ourselves are also to be in submission to Jesus, the next step to that is that we are to be in submission to those who are in authority over us. As listed in our text, in 1 Peter, it talks chapter 2, verse 13, right through chapter 3, verse 7. There's a whole list of those that we are to be in submission to. But to take it further, look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, it says, "He Himself," who is He? Jesus. "He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God has given the church those in authority, and the list was there in verse 11, and speaking here, I'm talking about pastors, I'm talking elders, teachers. We are to be in submission to them because they're the ones that are to train us for the work of the ministry. You know, the work of the ministry is not me up here teaching you. I mean, it's part of it for me. That's part of the ministry God has given me. But it's not my responsibility or solely my responsibility when it says, "For He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." It's not for the equipping of the saints, comma, and then also for the work of the ministry. It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And no equipping can really happen if there is not a relationship that is between those who teach and those who are being instructed, and a mutual submission and a love for one another so that we can all be equipped for the work of the ministry. Amen? So we are to be submitted one to another. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, this Bible drill this morning. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, says, "Obey those who rule over you." But He doesn't stop there. It doesn't just say obey. But He says, "And be submissive." Relationship. "For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. One more scripture. As we are to be in submission to those that are in authority over us, so we also are to submit one to another with joy. That we are to be submitted one to another with joy. Look with me. Keep your fingers in Hebrews chapter 13, because we're coming right back to that. But in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, I think that's the wrong scripture. Chapter 5, excuse me. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. To submit to one to another in the fear of God, and with joy in our hearts. Now, I am head of my home. You know how I know? My wife told me I could be. And she also knows what the Word of God says. Why did I say? Because she said I could. Not because she is really the one that is in authority and she just lets me have the appearance. But it's that we are mutually submitted one to another, as is in the fear of the Lord. Kathy basically says, I'm really glad that you're ahead of the house, because you're the one that has to answer to God. I don't, as long as she is in submission to me. But me being in submission to Kathy means that I listen to her. Husbands, I listen to her. And I pray with her. And I receive her counsel. And we together, in mutual submission, make decisions together. But it's my responsibility to be sure that the decision that we make is from the Lord. And I stand before Him and give accounting to God for what goes on in our house. So I can have authority because I am also under authority. Kathy has authority in our house. And I am submitted to that authority because you know why? Sometimes I just don't see it all. And God has not given me that gift that mothers have. Mothers, you're incredible. You have eyes glued in the back of your head. Your kids can't get away with anything. But guess what, husbands? You can't either. They see it. They may not say it, but they see it. Kathy, from time to time, will say, Matthew, you're getting into the ozone. Come back to reality here. Don't you, Kathy? From time to time, she does. And you know, I can either say, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm the head of this household. I will make those decisions. And that's all there is to it. And you better submit. Now we have World War III. Not really. Because if I was to do that, if I would have the audacity to do that, Kathy would submit to it. But I've lost something very, very important. I've lost the ability to hear my Father's voice through a dimension He has given me in my wife. Because I have now shut it off. And I can miss and miss out on the counsel of the Lord. Because after all, I really do miss God. I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. No, I miss God. And I need that check and balance that God has placed not only in my life, but He has placed it in His Word. And it only works when there's relationship involved. When there's relationship that is involved. Let's go back to Hebrews. This verse in Hebrews, God has just this week has been an absolutely incredible week for me. I have reached peaks and I have seen valleys and I've God give me a steadiness here, and he gives me another peak, and then I get another valley, and I was like, God, please give me some semblance of understanding and sense of all of this. And he gave me this scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. This verse is saturated with relationship. It doesn't really seem to be outward in the general reading of it. But I want to share with you a few Greek word studies that I did on the key words in this verse. It just opened it up to me. The first word was obey. Obey. Parents, you ever say that to your kids? Obey. I have. But the word obedience here, or obey in the Greek, is piepho. And it means to be content. It means to believe. It means to have confidence in. And it means to make friends with, to trust, and to yield to. That comes with relationship. Have confidence in the one that is in authority over you, and to yield to that. And to trust. To trust. Trust is a difficult thing for a lot of people. It's just a really hard thing. But God says in his word to trust, and that comes through relationship. The word rule here, obey those who rule over you, the word rule here is hegemoi in the Greek, and it means those who go before or those who lead as a shepherd. To govern and to have authority over, but this general sense here is ones who lead you as a shepherd will lead sheep. A shepherd cannot lead a sheep into green pastures if he doesn't first go and see that it's green pastures and that it is good food and it is a proper thing for his sheep to feed on. It's ones who truly lead, who want to lead, who have an anointing to lead and have a love for the people that they are leading will go ahead of them and check it out and make sure it's good. And we need to have confidence in those who lead us that they've done that. It's a relationship. You know, I submit myself to our elders here, Tom and Jim. Tom and his family are out of town this morning. Jim and his family are out of town this morning. Obviously, Tom isn't out. He's right sitting right there. But he's out. I mean, he can go into the ozone sometimes, too. But, I have absolutely no problem whatsoever in submitting to those two men as my shepherds. They lead me. They never come and bring a word of chastisement to me if they haven't first gone ahead in prayer and check it out to make sure, and gone into the Word to check it out and make sure that they believe that they're right, and they will come to me. And they do. And I cannot be above correction, and I cannot be above chastisement. Because if I am, then I set myself up as a dictator and as a czar, commanding and not having relationship. I have to have relationship with them. And I am fully submitted to them, and I have confidence in those two men that they are more than able and anointed to shepherd me. And I'll tell you something, man. This church is blessed to have these two men as elders in this church. Because they don't want the limelight. They don't want the recognition. They want God. And man, I'll tell you, that's a blessing to have. I'm also submitted to Roger Brooks. Pastor Roger Brooks. Of the Village Church. And Roger and I try to get together as often as we can on a Wednesday morning. And we'll sit in my office and he will pour out all of his anger and all his, he gets great. You're not so-and-so, and I'll do the same thing. Oh, yeah, that's the way I was treated, like that. And then we look at each other and say, now we've got to come before the Lord. And there have been times that Roger has looked at me and said, Matthew, be careful. I need to pray with you that you will have a right attitude. And I have prayed with him that he would have a right attitude. Because you know one of the things that pastors battle more than anything else is cynicism. It just sometimes comes in like a flood. Cynicism. Becoming cynical. And Roger and I, Pastor Roger and myself, are submitted one to another to pray for one another, lay hands on one another. At times he says, hey, hands on me like this, and I do the same with him, but we love each other and we hold each other accountable to each other. And that's a blessing for me because I need that. You cannot have authority if you're not first under authority. So to stand and say, I'm under the authority of God, but you're not under any other authority, means you are not really under the authority of God. Because God has delegated that chain of authority to each and every one of us. You want to have authority? Be under authority. Amen? So in Hebrews, the word rule was to go before, to lead as a shepherd leads. And then the word submissive. Here it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. The word submissive here means, in the Greek, means to surrender. It means to resist no longer, with the implication there was resistance before. To resist no longer, but give way, or again, to yield. Yield is relationship. You're driving down the road, and you have this intersection that comes. And you're coming like this, and this is the main road, and you come up, and it goes like this, and there's this big sign that says, yield. That means yield to the people that are going along. That means you give place to them, right? It means you allow them to go ahead of you, and then you go on. You have a relationship with that. You should have a relationship with the people in that car, because if you do not obey that sign, you're going to cause a wreck. And you may inflict pain and hurt upon those people. I don't want to inflict pain and hurt upon those people, nor do I want to inflict pain and hurt upon myself. So I have this relationship that causes me to obey that sign and yield, be submissive to those that are in that right of way. And I give place to them, then I come along into the intersection, and what happens? Things happen decently and in order. Amen? And we all can go on our merrily drive and enjoy the countryside. Hallelujah. Why are we to function in this kind of loving, yielding submission when we're dealing with church, dealing with the body of Christ and leadership? It's because of the relationship of love that comes from those in authority in the church that is directed specifically at you. That is directed specifically at you. You go on in Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, they watch out for your souls. And the word watch out in the Greek here is agrupineo, and it means sleeplessness. It means sleeplessness. It means to be kept awake. It means to be very attentive. That they watch out, that they are sleepless in their watching out and looking over your life. And it says, of those who must give account. And the word here, give account, in the Greek means to render up. It's two Greek words, actually, which combined mean to render up or to be charged with or be accountable. Those that are in leadership in the church are accountable before God for your very souls and how you are instructed and how you are taught and how you are equipped for the work of the ministry. And that is a heavy burden, but it is a responsibility that cannot be taken lightly whatsoever. So obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And what God is saying here is that joy in leading comes by leading those who treasure unity that is based on love and respect. Grief comes in trying to lead those who defy, show lack of respect, and not honest in differences. True submission can only be vividly exhibited when there is disagreement. It's easy to be submissive one to another when we always agree. But let me ask you a question. Husbands and wives, do you always agree? No way. We don't always agree with each other. But that does not mean that in disagreement that we treat each other with disrespect and dishonor and dishonesty. What grieves me as a pastor is when I talk with somebody and they say, oh, everything's okay. Oh, I'm just fine, you know, whatever. And then you hear from others that they're torqued about one thing or another, but they don't have the relationship with me to be able to be honest. I can take a lot. The leadership here can take a lot. Leadership in churches can take a lot. God gives us thick skin. The trick is to stay greased up in the Holy Spirit so that really becomes a stab in the back, or actually, should I say, a knife in the heart, is to find out that somebody has been dishonest and not respectful, and just honest, just say it. You know, with a husband and wife, when you get into a tiff, you know the best thing that Kathy and I can do is be honest with each other. Well, this is the way I feel. Blah, this is the way it is. But when you have honesty, you can deal with it. When you don't have honesty, you can't deal with it. You can't. You just go like this, you know. Yeah, it's one of the reasons it's getting so good. You know, it's being a pastor. I think one of the callings of a pastor is to be bald. Most pastors I know have no hair. Some worship leaders don't either. Why? Because we're going like this. Because people tend to be flaky. So do I. Okay, when I go like this, I got three fingers pointing back at me. I can be flaky at times. I can be flaky. But I remember a pastor I was talking with once, and he was just so forlorn because he put so much love and so much energy and devotion into a particular person. And this person ended up leaving the church and severely hurt him. And I was talking with this pastor once. We were praying together, and he asked me this question. It was a bold question. It was a difficult question. He told me, he says, why is it that you go through, sometimes it seems like you go through 30, 40, 50 people or families that just are like that, to find one person or one family that you can count on that will nail themselves down in your church and be an asset. And you know that when you're in a foxhole with them in a spiritual war, they're not going to knife you in the back because you did something they didn't like. But they will guard your back and then trust that you will guard their back. And no matter what comes down, we're on the same army. We're on the same army of God. We are called together to be then that army and to be fighting the enemy, not fighting amongst each other. If we will get that through our thick heads, and me too, okay? I've been guilty of this. But we are in a war. And that war, the enemy is Satan, it's not you, it's not me. And we are called to be together in that army, that we will fight together, and we will find a victory that God has called us, ordained us, anointed us, and empowered us to find. And it will not be found by people that will squabble, and find some reason to leave or go this or go that or do this or do that. God is calling you and me to lay down differences, get on the same side, and fight the real enemy. And when God's people will do that, we will find strongholds torn down in neighborhoods. We will find communities changed. We will find the church transformed. Hallelujah. But we have got to lay down differences. And there is a submission to authority that is born and needs to grow and strengthen through relationship. And relationship must have trust. If it doesn't have trust, then the relationship is surface. And surface relationships never get down to the nitty-gritty. Never get down to deal with real issues. You got an issue with me? Come and talk to me. I'll sit down with you, and I will reason together with you, and most anybody will. If you have a problem with somebody, go to that person. What does Matthew chapter 18 say? If you have an ought against a brother, go to your brother and deal with it. Deal with it. But that brother you have an ought with finds out that you have talked to this person and that person about that ought, and you never talked with them about it. You've eroded trust and made it to, brought it to the place where that brother who you have an ought with won't listen to you because he doesn't trust you. He doesn't trust you. Trust is so vital to any relationship. And submission is impregnated with relationship. You have to have that relationship. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I'm 20 after 12. I'm only on page 2 of 4 pages. If I start on this second thing, we're going to be here till 1:30. I can't do that. Oh. No, I'm going to leave it off right here. The old preacher told me once, he says, do not give your congregation any more than what their seat can take. So you leave a tidbit to cause them to want to come back. So I expect y'all be here next Sunday. I want to share with you, I'm going to give just a preemptive for next week. I really need to stop. I've said enough as far as that this particular part of submission. But next week I'm going to share with you two areas. I'm going to share with you biblically. I'm going to show you in the scriptures where when a group of people submit to their king, submit to the one that's in authority, when that authority is wrong, and what happened? What happened was that that group of people did not face the retribution of the Lord. The king did. The king did. They are absolved of it because they stayed under authority. Now, I'm not saying that you go and sin because I tell you to. What I'm talking about is relationship. And then I want to show you next week in the scriptures how someone who was very, very loyal to the king, and then for personal reasons of vengeance, brought himself out from underneath the king's covering in an act that he thought was loyalty. But because he did that, it opened the door for deeper rebellion, which caused death in the camp and eventually brought a death within the house of God. And how it filtered from one person to the next. Because it started with one, then it came to another, and from that person it came into another. And I want to show you this chain of events that happened in the Old Testament. Simply because of one who first started out loyal, came out from underneath the covering of the Lord. And when he did, he eventually lost his life. It's serious stuff. But not hard. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. You want authority? Be under authority. Because if you're not under authority, you will have none. And when you pull yourself out from under authority and you remain or begin the quest of being sovereign Christian. You know what sovereign means? Sovereign means not under authority. The only one that is sovereign is God. He is not under your authority. He is under only his own. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad you're not God. You better be glad I'm not. My kids are glad I'm not God. I'm under authority. That's why I haven't killed them. You know what I mean? I tell my kids, I may not have brought you into this world, but I can take you out. But I wouldn't, because I love them. I'm under submission to the love that God has given me for my children. And I will kill for them. But I would never kill them. I love them. But in their love for me, as their father, they also receive correction and discipline and direction for their life. Let's pray.